welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at redrock_bball, facebook.com/redrockbasketball, email is redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com, and there's the new YouTube channel. Just search Red Rock Fantasy Basketball or click the links on the website. Okay, if you haven't seen it, there is a video out on the YouTube site talking about the Red Rock Dynasty League. If you're interested in joining the Red Rock Dynasty League, head across to YouTube, watch the video, follow the instructions in that video to get yourself in the running to join the league, which will feature myself, Mark Roberts from RotoWire, and Matt Smith, also from RotoWire and from Red Rock as well. So get across to YouTube, check out that video, and be a part of a potentially massive, monstrous Dynasty League we're going to be running. This podcast, we are back with another of the Season in Review podcasts. Going to be talking today about the Indiana Pacers. Paul George beats the buzzer with a three-point shot.
Paul George, a little like lousy with it.
Of course, the Indiana Pacers season was derailed by the injury to Paul George in the offseason. It was something nobody wanted to see. It was always going to be hard for the Pacers to make the playoffs, losing Paul George, losing Lance Stephenson, and it reflects pretty clearly in their fantasy value, to be honest. We have a look at the team, and there's just not that much exciting. Only one player finishing inside the top 100 for per-game fantasy value. Not what you want to see when we're talking about teams and drafting their guys for fantasy leagues. Things are going to be a little bit different next season, obviously, with Paul George back. And we'll cover him in a fair bit of detail in today's podcast. Let's start where we always like to start, and that is with the point guards. We start with George Hill, who was a guy that I was very, very, very high on in the offseason. Didn't start off that well with that knee bruise injury that he had that lasted seemingly forever. But once he came back, he was fantastic. His total values, they don't look that impressive. His head-to-head total at 160 and Roto value at 135 is not that good. But that's not the story. It's why you got to dig a little bit deeper into these things. He played only 43 games at only 30 minutes a game. But per game, he ranked 54th over the course of the season. After the All-Star break, the 33rd ranked player. The last month of the season, the 22nd ranked player. And overall for the season, per 36 minutes, the 26th ranked player. He was fantastic down the stretch for the Pacers. He averaged 16.1 points, 1.6 threes, over 4 rebounds, over 5 assists, a steal. He shot 48% from the field and 79% from the free throw line. Now, it was hard to hold on to him for those first couple of months, but once he came back, he was just churning out numbers all over the place. Now, he was putrid in 2013-14. He was pretty much unownable in a lot of standard fantasy leagues. What's the future like for George Hill? Now, he showed that he could put up big numbers, but the problem is with Paul George back, he's going to have that cut into. The other thing is that 2013-14, he had to share the ball with Lance Stephenson as well as Paul George. So I think his numbers are going to fall somewhere in between. He's not going to be a guy who ends the season with a per-game rank of 22. He's not going to be that guy. He's also not going to be a guy outside the top 100, which is what he was the year before. There is one less option on this Indiana team, assuming they don't pick a wing player with their draft pick at pick 11. So he falls somewhere in that top 100 value, maybe around pick 80, pick 75, that sort of thing. Now, he's obviously not going to have as much offensive responsibility, so to think he'll score 16 points a game is probably not realistic. But 5 assists a game is not completely out of the ordinary. Paul George will handle the ball, but Hill will take on a lot more ball-handling role than what he had when Lance Stephenson was around. I think his field goal percentage stays pretty high because a lot of the defensive attention will shift to Paul George and the free throws won't take too much of a hit. So I do like George Hill. I don't like him as much as what I liked him this season, but I don't hate him as much as what I liked him the season before. So he's going to fit somewhere in between, but just don't look at his numbers and go, oh, if he was fully healthy, he's going to do that again, because the return of Paul George, is going to put a big dampener on what George Hill can do. It's not going to dampen him enough to take him out of standard league consideration, though. So he's going to be a sort of in-between type of player. I think that's the best way of... Well, that's the way that I see it happening at the moment. Other point guards on the roster. We've got CJ Watson. He's an unrestricted free agent heading into this offseason. So we'll talk about him. He was good when he got the opportunity. Even when he played as a backup, 121st was his head-to-head ranking per game. 106th in the last month. Per game value 79. So we saw him putting up pretty decent numbers. He's always a guy who can hit a lot of threes. He hit 1.2 threes a game in 25 minutes, 10 points, 3.5 assists, 3 rebounds, a steal. Good percentages, 43% from the field is not great, but it's not terrible from a point guard. And he was relatively reliable. Another problem with him, injuries. He only played 57 games. We saw there were situations when he was out and George Hill was out. Donald Sloan was carrying this team as the starting point guard, and that's not going to work out in anyone's favor. Moving on to Sloan, he was good when there was no one else around, but as soon as any player of any ability came back, he just went back to being what he is, and that's not a good player. His per game value is 279th, and we saw that once the other guys were back, after the All-Star break, the 402nd ranked player. Great when you're missing your first two point guards and he's put into a role where he gets big minutes. Otherwise, not so great. 7.4 points in 21 minutes, 2.7 rebounds, 3.6 assists, 0.8 threes, 0.4 steals. Not bad numbers, and it was always a case of right place, right time for Donald Sloan at the start of the season, where he was an absolute must-own. There's no doubt about that. But once the guys started returning, like CJ Watson, like Rodney Stuckey coming back, then George Hill came back, a lot of his value evaporated very quickly. Rodney Stuckey's another guy we've got to talk about. He's an unrestricted free agent. He played for less than $1 million last season. He's going to earn more than $1 million this offseason. He was a guy that I was relatively high on for 12-team leagues. I thought he was a must-own guy. He ended up, I'd say that's fair enough. Per game, 163rd. That's not too good, but post-All-Star, 129th. He was great for Roto Leagues, 114th. So there was certain situations where you had to own Rodney Stuckey, and he got really, really hot in the middle of the season. Started hitting threes, which is not something he's known for. That obviously dropped off. His numbers, they look okay on the surface. 12.6 points, 0.8 triples, 3.5 rebounds, 3 assists, 0.8 steals, 44 and 82. Not bad numbers. Nothing too mind-blowing. Now, I would think the Pacers would like to have him back. They're still missing contributors on the wing, and he is a guy who can handle the ball. He can play a bit of two guard. He's not a great player by any stretch. He's not a game changer, but as a 20-minute guy off the bench, I think he can help the Pacers a lot. I don't think that with Paul George returning, he's going to have much impact for 12-team leagues. We pretty much know who Rodney Stuckey is at this moment. He's a guy who scores. He's a guy who shoots free throws, who can't hit threes. He gives sometimes some assists, sometimes some rebounds, but never really, really big numbers. He's always that fringe standard league 12-team guy. And dynasties, he's not going to get better. He pretty much is who he is at this point. At shooting guard, CJ Miles had a really good end to the season. His per game value for the year, 119th. Post-All-Star break, 93rd. So stepped it up at the end of the season. Another guy who was struck down by little injuries all the way through the season. Now, he only missed 12 games, but he'd have something different happening, it felt like, every week, where he'd miss a game or he'd be limited minutes or whatever it was. 70 games, 26 minutes. His big value, and it's why he's a great head-to-head guy, he hit 2.2 threes a game. 13.5 points, which was second on the team in scoring. 3 rebounds, but not much else. 1 assist, less than a steal, 40% shooting, 81 from the free throw line, which is good. Again, as I said, this team lacks wing players. They lack shooters and scorers. So I think that CJ Miles is going to continue to have a role with the Pacers as someone who can shoot. He's signed for another 3 more seasons, so he's going to be around. And he's going to be that guy for 14-team leagues, streaming in for 12-team leagues, who can hit those three-pointers, maybe get you some steals, but not going to be someone who is really relied upon in many or in shallower formats. And what he is what you get. He is a valuable dynasty guy because he's going to be able to hit those threes. So he's not someone who's at the downside of his career. He's sort of in the middle. The next 3 to 4 years, we'll get the same CJ Miles, assuming he stays healthy, which is, it's a pretty big assumption with him because it's not something he's really been able to do throughout his career. Wing players. We have to talk Paul George now. Now, had a question come through on Facebook from Jeffrey Zhao. Is Paul George a second or third round player next year? It's a really good question. I would say he goes in the second round. I'm almost 100% he will go in the second round, and there's a huge chance he returns first round value. You heard me ranting and raving about Paul George this season, about everybody who was getting on him. Oh, you've got to pick him up. You've got to add him to your team. He was the 246th player per game. Now, I know he didn't play many minutes, but he was never going to play minutes. And I feel relatively vindicated by telling people, do not go and add him. Do not drop people of value for Paul George. He played 6 games at 15 minutes and was really good, and it was great to see him back out there. 8.8 points, 1.5 threes, 3.7 rebounds, 1 assist, 0.8 steals in 15 minutes are great numbers. As a per 36 fantasy player, Paul George was the 13th ranked player. He was good. He is going to be a second round player next year. He will be a top 15 player, I've almost got no doubt. His shooting was well off, but that's fine. He didn't play for so long. 37% he shot from the field. He's not a great shooter anyway. He's not going to be a big field goal percentage guy, but we'd expect his numbers to return very similar to what we saw post-injury. I wouldn't be shocked if they're less than what we saw the last full season he played, just because this injury does take so long to get over and people often don't come back at their full capacity. But yeah, he was a player that you could have picked around pick 10. I think probably he's a maybe pick 15, maybe pick 18 sort of guy. I probably personally wouldn't take him in the first half of the second round, but back end of the second round is where I would take him. But I reckon if you're going to be keen on him, he's going to go in that early part of the second round. I would be shocked if he escaped out to the third round. That probably means I just won't have Paul George on any of my teams next season, because I'm not willing to spend that early second round pick on him. But it's not going to be a shock if he ends up as the 9th best fantasy player or the 11th best fantasy player. I just don't think I'll be taking that risk, because I know the after effects of this injury. I know how long it takes to get better from it. And we're still not even 12 months removed from him having that broken leg. So there is still a bit of way to go with him. But what we saw end of last season was very, very encouraging. So don't be afraid of spending a second round pick on him, because I think it's going to be hard to find him in the third. He will have an ADP of less than 20. I've got almost no doubt about that. Let's look at some of their other wing players. Now, Solomon Hill, who started the bulk of the season, played all 82 games, 29 minutes a game. That doesn't necessarily mean it translates into good fantasy stats, though. Normally, minutes is the most important stat for fantasy, not so much for Solomon Hill. For Roto Leagues, he was the 126th ranked player. That's, despite playing 82 games and 29 minutes a game, wasn't able to do much. Head-to-head leagues, it was worse. 151st per game, 224th his value was. Didn't improve down the stretch. He was good for them, but he was not great. 8.9 points, 0.8 threes, almost 4 rebounds, 2 assists, almost a steal, 40% shooting from the field, 82 from the free throw line. Now, it's a massive improvement because he sucked as a rookie. He was dreadful. He stepped it up in his second year, but like a lot of these guys on the wing, with Paul George returning, what do we expect from Solomon Hill? He may continue starting. They might go with George Hill, Paul George, Solomon Hill. They could easily go CJ Miles there on the wing. They don't think they'd go Rodney Stuckey. So he could continue to start, but with another mouth to feed, not that he was a big mouth to feed anyway, I don't imagine his numbers really take a big jump forward. Now, it's his third year, so they could take a jump forward, but I don't imagine it's going to be a massive leap. Dynasty leagues, I don't think he's someone that I'm wanting to go after and think, yeah, there's a big future ahead of Solomon Hill. I was never that high on him heading into last season, even with the big opportunity in front of him, and I'm even less high on him going into next season. I just don't ever think he's going to turn into a real fantasy dynamo. Deep leagues obviously need to consider him, but for me to think that he's going to jump out of that top 200 into the top 150, I think he's going to be pushing it next season. We might see it. I don't think we'll ever see him inside the top 100, and I'd be doubtful that it goes inside the top 150 at this point in his career. Chris Copeland started off the season absolutely red hot. He was a must-own guy, and then dropped off to the absolute craptacular player that he is. 50 games, 16.6 minutes a game. Now, this is obviously nothing against him with that terrible incident in New York when he got stabbed. We all feel sorry for him, just don't think he's a good basketball player. 6.2 points, a three a game. Now, he was a guy that was getting ridiculous amounts of threes, like 5-6 threes in bunches in games. 1 3 a game in 16 minutes is good, but he gives you nothing else. 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 0.2 steals, 0.2 blocks, 36% shooter, and a 31% shooter from the three-point line. Over half of his shots were from three, so that's all he does, really. You don't expect anything else out of him, even though he's a pretty big guy. No rebounds, no blocks, no steals, no assists. He's a three-point specialist only. His per-game fantasy value, 387th. Not great at all. This injury and this incident, it doesn't really put too much of a doubt on his career, because his career wasn't really going too far anyway. He's a restricted free agent this season. I imagine that somebody will sign him, but it's going to be in a backup role as a shooter. The Pacers do need shooting. definitely, but he's going to be, we're talking very, very, very deep leagues for Chris Copeland to have any sort of impact. And I think that's just the sort of player he is. He's not a great defender. He's a guy who can bomb threes and can't even do, he can hit them. It's because he takes a lot of attempts at them, though. Another rookie they had out on the wing, Damian Ruggiez, didn't really set the world on fire. I think that's fair to say. He played 68 games, 15 minutes a game. He too, like Chris Copeland, hit a three a game, but at least he did it at 41%. Nearly all of his shots were threes. He took 2.5 threes a game and only 3.9 field goal attempts a game. So an overwhelming proportion of his shots were three-pointers. He converted them at a really decent rate. Almost 5 points a game, but like Copeland, he gives you nothing else. 0.7 rebounds, 0.8 assists, 0.2 steals, 0.1 blocks. At least the 45% field goal percentage is there. I think there's more scope for Ruggiez to become a better player than Copeland. So I wouldn't be shocked if they let Copeland go and put Ruggiez as that 3-4 hybrid guy who can hit threes, because he showed that he could do it at a decent clip. Don't really think there's much hope of him becoming a great player, but I think his minutes can go up to 18 or 19 a game, and he can hit some triples for you. Yeah, maybe one or two a game, or not. No, sorry, 1 to 1.2 a game. But it's only deep leagues. We're only talking 16 to 18 team leagues. But I liked a little bit of what I saw from him, but it's strictly as a 3-point shooter. I don't imagine there's much else to come from Damian Ruggiez. Okay, onto the big men, and they were disappointing as well. There's a lot of disappointments on this team, but the big men were quite disappointing. David West, who started off the season with that injury as well, that sprained ankle, and he never recovered from it. So I'm going to cut him a little bit of slack, because I do have that theory that people who have those ankle injuries come back way too early and it affects them for a long time. Head-to-head, 113th per game. He was 87th in Roto in total value. I think he jumps back into the top 100. Even though he looks old, I think the ankle did play a part in that. He only played 29 minutes a game. He played 66 games, 11.7 points, 6.8 rebounds, 0.7 steals and blocks, 3.5 assists, which is great for a guy his size. 47 and 74 is his percentages. So there's a little bit of intrigue there with him. Struggled mightily down the stretcher. I think with a fresh offseason, injury-free, I think David West puts himself back inside the top 100, but you're going to be able to draft him outside the top 100. I'm fairly confident of that. And I think he could be a bit of a steal next season. Even if he only plays 30 minutes a game, I think that he is going to be better than what we saw this season, especially when he doesn't necessarily have to be the number one offensive option, which he was at times last season with Paul George not there. I think that he can get his minutes back up. The team will be more into, you know, playoff consideration. They'll be challenging for a top four seed. And West will have to push that, I think. That's my thoughts on him. Now, he's got a $12.6 million player option for next season. You'd think he's going to take that. And then he'd be playing for one last contract, or maybe two more contracts, but he'd be playing for a new contract. I think that David West has the capacity to be a little bit of a surprise next season. Luis Scola is an unrestricted free agent, and he had games where he would put up decent numbers. He would actually outperform West and outperform Hibbert at times during the season. But he's a guy who gives points and rebounds and not a lot else. 9.4 points in 20 minutes, 6.5 rebounds, 0.6 steals, 0.2 blocks, 47 and 70 is percentages. He's basically a points and rebounds guy, and that makes him not a great fantasy guy. There is still value in deeper leagues, but head-to-head per game, 258th. It's not impressive. Roto, 151st. He is a decent Roto player because his percentages are okay. He gives sort of a little bit across the board, not much. But there's not a lot to love with Luis Scola for standard leagues, definitely, unless we see a lot of injuries happening. So if West goes down or Hibbert goes down and he gets those starts, he is going to put up some double-doubles. He's not going to do much else apart from that. And he is old now. We must remember that. Lavoie Allen is a guy who I really do like. He didn't provide a huge amount, but he's basically a double-double waiting to happen. 17 minutes, 5 points, 5 rebounds. If he plays 30 minutes, you're almost guaranteed a 10-10 sort of game. With over a block, he had 0.7 blocks in 17 minutes, 47% shooter. It didn't translate that great in fantasy, 209th per 36 minutes, so it's not great, 240th per game, and struggled down the stretch, 376th in the last month of the season. But I still think there's a bit in Lavoie Allen. I'm not going out and spending a huge amount on him, but I think that he can, with the Pacers talking about, we're going to get into this in a sec, with Roy Hibbert, with them talking about, yeah, maybe Roy Hibbert's better suited for the bench. They're going to change their offensive style, go faster, and that's going to leave him at a in an odd situation of where he plays. Maybe Allen can start taking over and playing more minutes. Now, he does have to compete with Yan Mihinmi as well, but I think there's a little bit in Lavoie Allen, and he can be a guy who chips in with 20 to 22 minutes a game, gives you a block, gives you, you know, 7-7, something like that, and that's relatively useful for 16 to 18 team leagues. I just touched on Yan Mihinmi, so we'll get into him now. He suffered a foot injury. He is not a good basketball player. 4 points, 5.8 rebounds, 0.8 blocks, 55% shooting, but a dreadful 31% from the free throw line. That puts him in roto leagues not in a great situation. Head-to-head, 262nd. Again, could he get more minutes if Hibbert goes to the bench? Yeah, that's a possibility. But I also think the Pacers are going to take a big man at pick 11, so that might put a dampener on Mihinmi. It might put a dampener on my thoughts on Lavoie Allen as well. Now, Allen is an unrestricted free agent this season. Mahinmi's got 1 year left. That could put a dampener on my thoughts for Allen. I think he's a better player than Mihinmi there. So that's just something I'll put out there, and someone who I go, yeah, there's a 1% chance for him becoming fantasy relevant for 14 team leagues. Let's talk Roy Hibbert. When you look at his total value for head-to-head leagues, 76th, and Roto, 115th. Yeah, you go, that's okay. But per game, 101st, really struggled down the stretch, 128th in the last month. After starting off the season really impressive, he was up and down a lot, but only played 25 minutes a game. 10.6 points, 7 rebounds, 1.6 blocks, 45% and 82. So he gets his percentages sort of reversed for what you expect from a big man, but we know to expect that from Roy Hibbert now. What you want is him to play more minutes, and the way things are looking, that's not going to be the case next season. So if you're owning Roy Hibbert in a dynasty league, I wouldn't anticipate much more than what we saw from him this season, and it was okay for, say, 12 or 14 team leagues. 10 team leagues, it was hard to own him, but the blocks are still very enticing, and the fact that he doesn't hurt your free throw percentage. So just keep an eye on Roy Hibbert. There's going to be changes with the Pacers. He is rumored to be going into a bench role. I think they draft a big man as well. I don't see Roy Hibbert getting better. I think I'll put it that way. I don't see him giving us more than what he gave us this season. And 10.5 and 7 with 1.5 blocks is not great. It's not great. I think that's the best way of putting that. The other guy they got in their roster, Shane Whittington, a rookie, 433rd in head-to-head per game value, 5 minutes in 20 games. I don't think we need to talk about him. He's not someone who I think is primed for a breakout or anything like that. All right, that's it. The Pacers podcast is done, guys. Reminder to check out the YouTube video regarding the Red Rock Dynasty League. I've had some applications in already, so thank you to all you guys who have sent in the applications. Check out the video of what you need to do to apply to the league. It's going to be a really fun league when it gets up and going. I am going to still have some other listener leagues, which will be announced later in the offseason, but this is going to be the bigger one, the Dynasty one. Lots of interesting stuff happening in that league. Make sure you're subscribing to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. And leave a review on iTunes. You know how much I love those. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.